This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, and welcome to the One Was That a Dream podcast. As ever, my name's Lee Finch, and I'll be joined by Danny Baker. We have a returning original podcastee in Jamie Whittenden joining us again today. Hopefully, it won't be a one-off appearance. Hopefully, he'll be coming back for more. Tonight, we'll be discussing the draws against Morecambe and Portsmouth. We'll then move on and speak about Ollie Palmer. Should we be selling or should we keep him? And if we were to sell, who would we like to replace him with? As we've not scored any goals, we'll be moving on and talking about our favourite ever Wimbledon goals, AFC Wimbledon and Wimbledon FC, and goals that we've conceded as well, because we have had some peaches scored against us. And then we'll move on and do a quick preview of the upcoming games against Burton and Ipswich. But yeah, I'd like to welcome our guests, Danny Baker, how are we? And Jamie, welcome back.
It's good to be back, mate.
Good to see you, Jay. How you doing, all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Living the dream.
I think the last time I saw you, we might have scored a goal, I think.
Yeah, many moons ago. Many moons ago. Yeah. I haven't missed Finchie, but apart from that.
No one misses Finchie, mate. Don't worry. For those who don't know, his beard is getting fantastic, though. It's a proper sort of Sinbad on the seven seas, isn't it?
Mate, it needs sorting. It does need sorting. But I've worked too much, mate. I'm working too much at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
How long are you going to go, then? What's like your live? Have you got a... Because at the moment, it's like your head's upside down. Like, you sort of, you need to, like, if you you'd be clean shaved. How long are you going to go?
I don't know. I think I'm done with it now, because I was drinking. Well, I ain't done with it. I'll still have a beard, but I'll trim it down. But I was drinking milkshake earlier, and as I was drinking, I looked, and I said to my missus, give me a kiss.
Can you imagine, Jay, the thought of
I said, look, I've got to go back to work. I popped home. I said, I've got to go back to work. Give me a kiss. And I literally had milkshake all in my beard and everything. And she's like, go
wash
your face.
What else have you found in your beard?
You know, beards are the dirtiest places in the world.
What surprised yours? The state of it.
Ah, shut up, man. I ain't put beard oil in it. That's why. You have to beard oil it up.
Beard oil does so everything, I suppose.
That's it. Anyway, let's start the podcast, as we said, with Morecambe. What did we think, boys?
Go on, Jay. Kick us off. Get us back in the whole time.
Well, I mean, it was an awful game of football. That was terrible. I mean, we could have won it. I mean, the keeper made an all right save, one that he should be making. Asal hit the bar from the cross, didn't he? You look confused, Finch.
Are you talking about the save from Ollie Palmer's header?
Yeah.
That's a class save. That's not.
Yeah, it's a good save, but like, he's expected to make it.
A bit more,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jamie, why are we not scoring goals? Come on.
Why are we not scoring goals? Because Palmer, whenever we look in a dangerous position, Palmer's in our half.
Yes. Yes, Jamie. He's always so deep.
Yeah. Like, and I understand why he's coming deep. He likes to link up play. He likes to come back. He is a bit of a workhorse, isn't he? But
why do you think he comes so deep? Like, what's the... Because I can't understand from a tactical point of view. I kind of get it if he's going to drop deep and then play over the top or play in. But I always find that at the moment we're lacking Palmer being at the top to bring in the other three. And I feel like we're kind of almost forwardless. And I'm not saying he doesn't try Palmer, because I thought the Portsmouth game, he tried all right. But we've got one up front. And whenever we get the ball wide, he's not quite in the box. And we're not getting enough crosses. And it just... That's for me, that's where we're missing a bit of disjoint.
Yeah, and I think the reason why is that because he's coming back to get the ball to then give it to Asell, Radoni, McCormick, and then he's going to then get into the box. But the problem is they're too far behind him as well. So when he gives it back to him, they're not on the wing. We're not getting the ball. And also, we'll come on to Portsmouth a bit later, but we can mix up the two. Our crossing against Portsmouth were absolutely horrendous. I don't think we hit any of our players in the box. So there's no point getting in the box. But yeah, I know we'll be talking about Morecambe, but we literally at one point didn't have anyone up front, because you look at the halfway line, Palmer's receiving the ball, there's nothing beyond him. So how are we going to score? And not being rude, the last two games we played, I thought both opposition were awful. I didn't think they were much got, even though Portsmouth were up in high in the league. I thought Morecambe were poor, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were really poor. And I said to you, Danny, last week, was that we needed to change it up a bit. And I was disappointed that we didn't. Do you know what I mean? Other than the forced changes that we made, I'm just disappointed that we're not seeing two up front. Like, Ollie Palmer is becoming, obviously, a Poundland Harry Kane, because he's coming so deep, he's not receiving the ball, and he's not getting in the box either, though, to score goals.
And I mean, I noticed, Morecambe. I mean, I don't know about Morecambe, but did they play with three at the back? I think they did. And Portsmouth did the same. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you're playing up against the three at the back, three central defenders, you can't play one up top on his own, especially if that's someone like Ollie Palmer, who, unless the ball gets played to his feet or a couple of yards either side of him, he's not going to get anywhere near him. So whenever the ball got anywhere near him, I mean, for someone that's 6'5", he's terrible in the air.
Oh my God, Jamie, you're like literally breathing my mind. Like, the amount of times the ball's gone in the air and I'm like, oh, Palmer's not going to win this header. And even the times where he's not strong enough because the midfield, the defender's just giving him a nudge and he's gone flying. It's sort of like, it's really frustrating, because I think when he's good, I think he's brilliant. I think when he's good, he's good. But, and again, like we said before, it's a tricky one, because I don't necessarily blame him. He gets nothing to really work with. A little bit when we had Piggott last year, he didn't get much to really work with at times. He was kind of a little bit of a lost soul. But I just remember the game at Gillingham when he scored the equaliser, and there was also a game this year, I can't remember what happened, but he came off the bench and just like did one big tackle and the whole game went up, and we were like, oh wow, we've like, where's this happened for the last 80 minutes? And he's got that opportunity to do that, and we just don't see it enough. And I think that's, whether that's his fault, whether he's carrying or not, whether he's too heavy, whether his head's gone, or whether tactically we've just not supported him. I'm with Lee. I hate to say it. I'm going to agree with Lee. We've got to try and do something different. Because you can't have, I mean, five games without a goal. And to be blunt, have we really looked like scoring a goal?
No.
It's not like we've been overly close. Like, I don't really remember, apart from the Palmer header, have the keepers made a really good save?
Palmer header against Morecambe, and then Radoni against Portsmouth in the first, 5 minutes. And then after that, we didn't look like scoring again.
But that's it, isn't it, really?
I don't see any positives at the moment. Like, people are going mental, like really happy about the Morecambe game. We dominated and all this. And we've said it before, Jamie, elite mentality. And people are going mental, going, oh, we dominated this game, we just didn't win. It's like, I don't want to see
it. Was it Andy Pass, though?
No.
That's what happens when we dominate the game. It's like, but that means nothing when you've drawn 0-0. And that's like the coach. What is he, the set piece coach?
No, it's the mind coach. It was the mind Steve coach. Salas.
So,
was
it Steve Salas? We dominated the game, but we drew 0-0 against a team that are, you know, relegation rivals to us.
Did we actually dominate that game?
Not really.
We had lots of ball, but
possession-wise,
they had more shots, I thought, than us. Stockton had one over the bar. Guy on the right and the right winger kind of guy had a hit. I didn't see us do much. We tried. There's no one said that we're not trying. Just lack any kind of ambition or any kind of quality there.
There's one point in that game where the boy puts a cross in, and if it doesn't touch Rossu, Morecambe scores, and we get it out. And that's what really annoyed me after the game it was Steve Salas, the mind coach, saying this is like, and I just don't see that as elite mentality. I don't see, our standards are dropping. And this is where I do worry, is at the start of the season, Robbo was saying, we're going to be exciting. We're going to not worry about the other team. Don't matter if we're playing Sunderland, Bolton. And we went out and we got at teams. Look at Bolton. We were, what, 2-0 down and we come, or 3-0, and we came back because we showed that endeavour and resilience, as you said, Danny. At the moment, it's just not exciting to watch either, though. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we're back watching Glenn Hodges' teams. Because, another thing that really annoyed me, sorry, Joe, last point, was making a sub in the 80th minute when we've got 100 games to play and he's saying we need to use the squad and stuff like that. The new loanee from Barnsley don't even get on the bench. Don't know where he is. He ain't been in the last two games. Is he fit? Is he back? Terry comes on 5 minutes. Everyone's raving about El Tel for 5 minutes. You can't judge a kid on 5 minutes. He put in a massive challenge, got booked. Everyone's going, oh, you look lively. It's like, well, I'd look lively over Ollie Palmer against Morecambe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like madness to me that our standards are dropping because we're being told they should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an elite mentality, like you say. And that's coming from the mentality coach, like, you know.
I'm a little bit devoid of ideas as to how we're going to correct it, because we've done this all year round. And I don't know whether it's just a bit of intensity. I don't know whether it's a little bit of buzz, a little bit of momentum, or a bit of confidence. I don't know. But I don't remember seeing Palmer as deep as we are now. I don't remember that. I might be wrong. Presley was never that deep either. He was always a bit higher. I can't quite put my finger on where this has kind of gone wrong, in terms of we've always played the 4-2-3-1 sort of thing. But we've just lacked anything. Like McCormick's full of industry, nothing at the end. The two fullbacks can't cross for Toffee. And if they do cross, there's only Radoni's in the box because Asal's drifted wide and Palmer's too deep. Asal is great at press in small doses. We've got nobody on the bench who's prepared to come in and actually shake it up. I thought Mabude was okay at best, but here again, he's just Andy Clark. The last thing he's going to slip over, he'll be offside and it gives away the possession. I don't think Chislett's going to bring it. I just don't know how they're going to create this. It's great that they've got the two clean sheets. Good to see Xhaka come in and play well against Portsmouth. But I don't genuinely know how they're going to correct it. And as I said, I'll repeat what I said last week. I think we're very, very easy to play against. The two wingers that go up, they don't necessarily come back. And all that happens is they turn around and it's a two-on-one down both fullbacks every single time. And we moan about them in terms of their quality, but that's what happens every single game. The fullbacks get battered.
I'll make excuses for them, Dan, because we had 18 days off. Do you know what I mean? Against Accrington, we were brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Against Wickham, we were brilliant. And then it just killed our momentum. I think Christmas has come and some of our players have enjoyed their Christmas a little bit too much. Not being real, I think Ollie Palmer does not look fit at all. As you said, against Gillingham, he put us in a challenge. He scores the goal. I think it's against Gillingham, that header.
Yep.
Where he's sprinting to get it. I don't see that in him at the moment. Or does he, we'll talk about it later, does he want the off? Has the Wrexham and the funds that he could earn gone to his head a little bit? And he thought, well, you know what I mean? I don't want to get injured and stuff and maybe mess up a move. You never don't know. But we are a young team. We're a young team and we're going to be inconsistent through a season. And we started, as I said, we started off really well. It was exciting. Everyone was loving it. Everyone was loving watching Wimbledon play. At the moment, it's not great to watch either, is it? We don't look like scoring in any game that I've seen us in the last five.
I don't know if you've noticed it as well, but we seem to come out of the blocks first 5-10 minutes, like absolutely flying out of the box, we're all over him. And then they always seem to just weather that storm and then come straight back at us. Happened at Morecambe, happened against Portsmouth on Tuesday night. I mean, I don't know what it is. And there were periods of the game where we were all over Portsmouth Tuesday. And I turned around to my old man and said, we've got to make this count because we're all over them.
Yeah,
and the problem when you're playing someone like Pompey, you know that they got the other end, they only need one. They've got the quality where they only need one chance, they'll put it in the back of the net. And like you say, I don't know what the answer is. I think, Finchie, you are right. What's going on? I must have grown up a bit while I've been away. Agreeing with you, mate. But I'm sure we'll disagree on something later.
The problem is all the endeavour we have and all the running that we do, we've still got nothing in that final third. We don't look like hitting their box or putting them under pressure within their box. Maybe the first 5 minutes against Portsmouth and the header. And that, again, that's it in what, five games? Again, we said it last week, Dan. At Oxford, we can kind of, you put under the carpet because Oxford are a decent side. We had Christmas, we missed all the games. we play a conference team, like a non-league team, and get absolutely like out-battled, like I thought. And then I said, the game against Morecambe, we dominated them apparently, but we had one shot on target the whole game. That's not domination in my view. And I think changing it in the 80th minute is just suicide for me.
I mean, consistently, it's a trait in Robbo where subs come too late or too infrequently. You know, there's been games where he's only made one sub.
Is that
because... And, you know, it was, what, 75, 76 minutes before he made a change? Terry comes on for the last 5 minutes. That's not long enough to make an impact. Do you know what I mean? And Portsmouth game, I can understand it a little bit more. We were playing quite well. Maybe he didn't want to change it and mix it up. Maybe I'm giving him a bit too much leeway there. Yeah, go on, Finchy.
Has Robbo got into this thing there, though, that he's too scared to lose? You know, like managers do. Like Glenn did it. Neil Hardy did it. Wally did it. You get into a thing where you're so... Like, when Wally came in, all he had to do was go and win, because if we lost, you know what I mean, we thought we were already down. So all he could do was win. But Robbo's coming now and said all this stuff, and now we're too scared to go out and win games. Like Morecambe, we were on top, so change it about. Put a little bit of fresh legs on. Get Eltel after him. Do you know what I mean? Get him behind. Do you know what I mean? Change the formation. Leave Ollie Palmer on with him.
Yeah, I think that was the thing with the Morecambe game. And like I said, like Jay was saying, we're playing well with the Morecambe game, but that was the opportunity to go, right, 15 minutes ago, let's be honest, Morecambe shut up, didn't they? They were like, we'll have a draw here. And they were right too. They were like, we need to keep in touch here. If we nick one, great, but in general, we're going to have a draw. Put the young lad on, get a bit of gas on there and say, right, come on, you're a bit tired, you've come a long way. This is a young lad, you don't know what he's about. He's a bit of pace, he's getting about a bit. It just, again, the thing that's really, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, how many times have we generally changed our formation this year? We spoke at the beginning of the year about, didn't we, this fluid, changing formations, different styles. And again, the only time we did was, bizarrely, the Boreham Wood game to begin with, which was just, I thought was an absolute car crash. I just, like I said, I don't quite understand whether it's just a case of, to be blunt, and I said it last week, and I still believe it, that the best 11 players are on the pitch. But I've now come to the point, if I'm honest with you, where it's like after those two games, we just need to freshen it up. We're playing Burton away. Do you know what? Let's just give him a breather. Target Tuesday. I think, is it Cheltenham or Tuesday we got? Like Ipswich. It's like, can we, you know, I just feel like we've got to get to a point where we change it. The interesting thing is, again, Robbo said that our business is done. And I don't, from what I can see, I can't see how a Blade or whatever his name is, and the new lad, how they are improving our squad. They're just another, I don't know. There's the thing that summed it up, and you said it about Portsmouth subs, Curtis, quality, Jacobs, quality. They would absolutely walk into our team. I don't think there was a single guy on our bench who would have got on their bench, let alone their team. And it's just, I feel that Robbo's kind of come to that thought where at the beginning of the year it was all, we wanted youth. We would pick these 23-year-olds above everyone else. I'm not buying it. We have adopted a style of football and a way of it on the budget that we've been given. And the budget we've got is literally bugger all. And the fact that we've got a reserve guy from Barnsley that no one, literally, he's never played a professional game of football, and he's walking into a League One side and he can't even get on the bench to begin with, and not a single lone player is playing. For me, tells us that we are basically our top team, and after that, we're filling the squad up with a lot of players. And I hope I'm wrong, and maybe they'll come good. I don't know, but I don't think, apart from Lawrence, who I thought was really good, I haven't seen a single lone player who I thought, wow, this is a boy who I'd love to keep next year, or I wouldn't have Ryan Longman for. I don't see it.
But this is our worst ever transfer dealings that we've ever had as AFC Wimbledon. Because I agree with you, Danny, I can't see one lone player that I think, yeah, I'd love to keep long term. You know, like when we had Force, or I know Ramsdale and Force are different because they're different gravies, but Longman, I'd love to have Longman back now. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But I think the thing for me is changing the formation and changing the personnel around. It doesn't seem to be happening. And it's strange to me that, like, Ollie Palmer come, like, on Tuesday against Portsmouth, I think every single sub was like for like. So you're not changing it. You literally just putting Nestor on for a left back, wasn't it? Or Shay, yeah. I think he came on for. Then you had Ollie Palmer for Terry. Do you know what I mean? You had midfielder for midfielder. And it's just like, well, you're not, Mabudi come off for a winger. You're not changing anything. So you're not going there. You have to then say, right, Palmer and Terry has to play together. And if Palmer's not fit enough, then you have to get Cosgrove on with Terry.
Jay, what have you made of Marsh?
I was just about to say, I do have some positives from the past few games.
Yeah, go on.
And Nightingale back, I know you mentioned it last week. I thought he was immense against Portsmouth.
Really good.
That was Shocker's best game in the Wimbledon shirt. I know, let's not get too excited because I thought it was unbelievable. I don't know if playing next to Will suits him better than next to Hennigan or Paul Callum-Bye. I mean, that was a goal-saving clearance that he put over the bar. I don't know how much he meant it, but there was a bloke waiting at the far post just to tap
Chris
it in.
Chris Perry-esque, that, mate.
Yeah, it was awesome. George Marsh, Hartigan dropping out. What's he done? His stomach? He's got stomach pains or something. Him dropping out and Marsh coming in, a bit of a blessing in disguise, really, because I thought he's been really good in both games. He's been sort of the shining light. And
yeah, I agree. Marsh has been
two poor games. I thought he's tidy. He's everywhere.
Yeah,
he puts himself out a bit.
Delivery, haven't we? A little bit. We missed in terms of, like you said, the quality of the passing and the switching of the play. I think Marsh has been busy, and I think this is, like you said, a bit of a blessing in disguise. Where actually now, Woodyard is outstanding for me. I think he, again, another great game, and Robert speaks highly of him. But I feel now that we're in a position that if Hartigan came back and Woodyard had COVID or whatever, Marsh could do that job, and he wouldn't do as good a job because I think he's been outstanding, Woodyard. But we've now got three guys who, frankly, any of those combos I think would work, which has been great. And obviously, if once Hennigan, I don't know what the COVID situation with him on Saturday is, but him and Nightingale, we're starting to get the right players back who we're desperate for. But it will be fascinating Saturday to see what the reaction is. Because I mean, how many more games could you cope without looking like scoring? I mean, I don't know.
Dan, we said at the beginning of the season, Marsh was one of our players to look out for this season that we thought would do really well from what we saw in pre-season.
Yeah.
What gets me is how has he not played games before this? How is he not coming in when we've struggled and stuff, and when we have loads of games, mixing it up a little bit? Or how are we not going to away to an Oxford and playing all three of them? Playing Woodyard, Marsh and Hartigan? Because we heard that Hartigan's a goal-scoring midfielder, that he was in the youth. So why not push him up a little bit? Drop a Sal Radoni or McCormick if you need to. And it just seems really weird that we're literally going to play this team in these formations and that's it, unless something bad happens, unless you get COVID or unless you get injured, which just seems mad that we had Marsh sitting on the bench this whole time and he's been excellent. I know he's probably gone in and taken the chance with both hands, which is what you want. Again, Jamie, I totally agree. I've been very critical of Shocker. But I've got to say, on Tuesday, I thought he was absolutely immense. I thought he was brilliant. He was chasing things down. He was getting pulled out of position, but getting back quickly. He was putting in headers. I think playing with Will, who's going to talk to him constantly and stuff like that, is probably better for him than playing with Ben. But Ben's still brilliant in my eyes. But yeah, I just think we keep getting told all these games are coming up. Mix it up a little bit. We've got the squad now. As you said, Dan, if we've got about 100 of these players now just to fill holes, you can't just have them sitting on the bench or just in the background in case. We need them playing.
Or get rid of them. Or if they're not going to play, thank you very much for your time. You're not going to get in this squad. We're talking about, we haven't got players. Well, Chislett's not going to play. Thanks very much. Great. Go on loan. Go and play some games and we'll bring another bloke in. I mean, it's not. That's the reality.
Joe, make your point and I'll make my last point before we move on.
I think that you kind of touched on it earlier with Robbo not making substitutions and not changing the formation, and then you've touched on it again there in terms of my mind's gone blank. What did you just say?
Well, I just talking about the lack of sort of...
the lack of mixing up, like not with how has Marsh not played. Yeah, so obviously not mixing up when we've got a massive run of games. And I think obviously Robbo's not, he's going to hate me for saying this, he's not a young man, but he's a young manager.
Yeah.
And I think that is showing a little bit now. Obviously, when it was new and exciting and we were playing exciting football that we weren't used to, it was great. A bit like you, Danny, I think Robbo's the man to take us forward, obviously, unless we continue to...
I agree totally,
But I think his naivety is showing a little bit more. And I think not only is he naive, I think we as a team are naive. And we're way too naive. We're not street smart as we should be. Case in point, on Tuesday night against Portsmouth, there was a challenge on Harness, I think it was, the Portsmouth player, and he just immediately lost his head. You saw his head was gone, and then he went through Marsh, I think. Now, we should be straight on him. absolutely, we should be winding him up. We should be kicking him. We should be pushing him. We should be, you know, short of, you know,
exactly
getting
what other teams do to us now. Yeah. Exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just winding him up, winding him up, winding him up, make him do something stupid when his head's gone. And we didn't get anywhere near him for the next like 15, 20 minutes. Like the only player that would probably do it is Woodyard. And I think he was already on a booking, so he's not going to do it. And like Osu always stays on his feet, go down for goodness sake. You know, we're too honest, we're too naive.
Yeah,
we need to be more street smart. We need to bring a bit more, for want of a better word, a bit more shithousery into our game, a bit more of the dark arts.
We need to go back to Wimbledon spirit, which is what we loved it. You know what I mean? Wimbledon FC were never one of these, even AFC Wimbledon were never one of these beautiful teams that just played great football. We had a bit of shithousery about us. It's like the left back, I think Portsmouth's left back got booked. And then we move a Sal over to the other wing. So not to go a Sal, go at him, run at him, wind him up, do what you do. Do you know what I mean? We didn't do it. And I think naive is the perfect word for our management team at the moment, because you've got to look through it. And as much as we love them, they're a young management team. Assistant manager Rob is very young. And he's got a little bit about him, but he is not. And I think that's the thing. It's naivety and a bit of stubbornness. And also, is Robbo too nice? Is he the fact that she's... Chislett should be gone. I've not been real. I like Chislett as a person. I like his family look, seem nice people, but he ain't good enough to get in our League One team at the moment, is he?
Well, I think the word naive is an interesting word, because me and Jay, I think are very much on the same line. I do see Robbo being the right guy. If I'm honest, if we stay up, he can make as many mistakes this year as he wants. I don't care, if I'm honest. Just stay up. Stay up with the groups of guys that we've got. Rodoni will go in the summer, Palmer will go in the summer, whatever he wants to do, and he can rebuild or whatever. But the mistakes, all of the naivety, the silly stuff that we've been talking about, is all fine as long as we're in League One next year. If we're not in League One next year, then we're in a world of trouble.
No, totally agree. Right. Well, boys, we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll speak about Ollie Palmer. Should we sell, or should he stay or should he go now?
Wimbledon's number 9. La 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 la.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing Ollie Palmer. Rumours are afloat regarding that we've had bids for Ollie from Wrexham. £400,000 was the last one I heard. I've heard rumours we haven't had a bid, we have had a bid. He's in our shake it all about. What would you two boys sell him? Or keep him?
Well, like you say, there's been lots of different fees bandied about. I've heard anywhere in the region of 180,000 to 500,000. I don't know about you, but if anyone's prepared to pay anywhere in that region, I think we should bite their hand off, if I'm honest with you. I like Ollie Palmer. I think most of the time he does a job. Obviously, he's not in the greatest form at the moment. He says the right stuff a lot of the time. You know, he's good. He's good with that aspect of it. But I feel like that's an outrageous amount of money to pay for a striker that scored 4 league goals this season. Like I said, isn't in great form. So I wouldn't be too upset if he goes, only if it's for that much money. By the same token, I wouldn't be too upset if he stays and sees the season out as well. I don't know how you feel, Dan.
If you sell him, you have to have a replacement. It's as simple as that. We can't take the money and not replace him. So, and replacing him with not guaranteed goals, because I don't think you can, but in my opinion, if you're selling Ollie Palmer, you have to have somebody who's going to lead our attack, which is bizarre, because at the moment, I don't feel like he's leading the attack as much, which I know is a bit of a weird one. But I just... Him and Rodoni are our top scorers, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 7. I don't see, again, if he has 5 good games and he's playing well in 5 good games, which I know doesn't seem that far off, but I feel if he has 5 good games, we'll win 3 or 4 of them. I feel that he is a really important player in terms of the way that we play, getting it, bouncing it. But I guess from Jay's point of view, and I'll buy it, if we're going to get the Ollie Palmer over the last 5 games, and Jay's right. If we're going to get the Ollie Palmer that we had when he scores 2 at Cheltenham and that, then Jay's wrong. But 500 grand, I mean, you'd have to take it. But I don't think 180 is enough. I think 500, I don't think there's many players in the squad that if they came forward and said 500 grand, I mean, you're taking it for Nesta. You're taking it for probably everybody bar McCormick, bar Asau and bar Radoni, probably. I mean, I'll take that for Woodyard. I think I'll take that for Hartigan. And I think that's where we're at with him. But he's just, I don't know. I think he is like the perfect second best striker at your club. I don't think he's your lead striker. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's been good enough for you to go, Ollie Palmer, all year, he scores enough goals to keep us up. But have we also, on the other token, been completely spoiled with Piggott? I mean, now, look back now, how good was Piggott? I mean, Jesus.
Well, this is the thing. We have been spoiled by the strikers that we've had over the years. If you go back, Main Kedwell, Lyle Taylor, Tom Elliott.
Drew Broughton, all the big ones.
No, but you know what I mean? Akinfenwa, you know what I mean? Even Piggott last year when people said, oh, yeah, if he goes, it ain't the end of the world.
Nathan Elder. I mean, we can go on, can't we?
No, but they've scored goals in important games, mate. So I show a bit of respect, yeah? What,
even Jesse Darko, yeah?
Yeah.
Jesse Darko, Romain Rose, we can carry on.
If we're being offered anywhere near £500,000, I've got a few things regarding this and why I would accept. Like, one, the money. We can't keep asking for bonds and keep asking people for money all the time, fans for money, and then we're turning down £500,000 for a player that is 29, has been injury prone since he signed for us. Do you know what I mean? As much as he wasn't before, he has been for us. Do you know what I mean? I think he's played 36 games in 2 years. Do you know what I mean? It's not a lot when you look at it that point of view. He scored 4 league goals this season. So if we're getting £500,000 bid in for him or 400 grand, then I think we have to accept. But I'm with you, Danny, on the fact that we need a replacement if we are. The one I really wanted, and I thought, yes, we might have a chance if we do sell Palmer, is Marquez, who's just gone from Portsmouth to Lincoln. Thought he'd be perfect for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lincoln have got him. There is other things that, like, as I said, you can't keep asking people for money and then we turn down. But has he got? Is it out in the? Is contract out in the summer?
No,
is he
18 months?
See, I've heard that's bullshit as well, though. It's definitely out in the summer.
From what I've seen, he's got 18 months. But Jay, put a number on him. What's the lowest amount you're taking?
180,000.
Oh, really? So 180, and he'll go.
Well, when I heard that I think the first bit of news was they bid 180,000 for him, I said take it.
Okay,
and I'm not deluded enough to think that 180,000 is going to go on a replacement, because, you know, we'd be lucky if half of that goes on.
Hold on, so you would sell Palmer and technically not replace him?
Well,
what would the caveat be?
In an ideal world, I'd like to replace him. However, devil's advocate a little bit, granted.
Okay,
I know he's not fit at the moment. But Presley does the same job as Palmer.
Okay. So do we stay up if we sell Palmer and not replace him?
I'm not convinced we stay up if we keep Palmer, if I'm honest with you.
Okay, all right.
Yes, I'm agreed with that. For me,
how much? How much is he worth?
250 plus.
Right.
You've got to look at who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the non-league Newcastle. Do you know what I mean? These guys are minted. We know they are. They're minted. They're absolutely. They're buying like League One, League Two players to play in the conference. And they want to push for the playoffs and stuff like that and go up this year. I think if we get that kind of money for him, someone made a good point, I can't remember who, on Facebook, saying that we wouldn't be able to get a permanent striker. But what about if we paid 100% or 80% of someone's wages for, say, a Joe Piggott again, to go to Ipswich and go, look, Joe Piggott's nowhere near it now at the moment. And say, look, we'll offer you 50%, 70% of his wage. And he comes in for the rest of the season.
Mate, and then Taylor is like totally contrary. Though,
we're never getting Lyle Taylor in a million
Robbo
years.
And the whole club have said it's like we've moved away from the journeyman thing, and that to do that. And I would agree with that, but that's completely contrary to everything that they have said.
It's not a journeyman though. Yeah, but the culture is Poundland Moneyball at the moment. We're signing players that.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. And if we had the money, my mate even the other day was like, why don't we just nudge Lyle Taylor and say, look, we'll just for
we're not getting near
250, you do it. I'm saying is, from all of the sounds that have come out, if they come out and sign Brett Pittman or someone who is a good, a solid League One, League Two striker who would score your goals, if you got John Marquis on loan for the end of the year, all that sort of stuff, who I think would be fantastic players, by the way.
But
that goes against what we said all year.
Yeah, but Dan, you're talking about Pittman. Pittman ain't played for 2 years.
I'm giving you an example of a person.
I think we got to get out of our head about Lyle Taylor coming back at the moment.
No, he's not coming
we're
back.
We're not going to get near his wages, even if we sell Palmer for £500,000. We're not going to get near Lyle Taylor for that. We ain't. I think he's on 20 grand a week, something like that. I think he's on ridiculous amounts of money.
At Forest.
We need to be looking at maybe the non, but we need to be looking at what about the keys at Chesterfield? He was at MK though. That's the only issue I've got.
Chimanga.
He'll
be well out of our budget.
But yeah, that's the problem.
You said 250, Lee. If you sell Palmer for 250 and we don't replace him, do we stay up?
Again, with Jamie, though, at the moment, I can't see us staying up at the moment anyway, because if you don't score goals, you're not winning games. And we don't look like scoring. So does it matter if we've got Ollie Palmer or not? Someone said to me the other day, would it be the worst thing in the world if Wimbledon got relegated? But we kept our... But this probably is another podcast. If we kept our the same budget that we got now.
But we wouldn't.
No, we definitely
wouldn't.
No, I think that's the conversation.
Because we'd be relegated.
We'll do another podcast around that. If we kept the same budget and we went into League Two, is it the worst in the world? But going back to the Ollie Palmer thing, I think 250 grand and then try and get a decent loan player in, a Joe Piggott, someone that is out of the, who's been in around the squad, but do you know what I mean? He's not in favour at the moment, and try and get someone in on loan. We say, look, we'll pay 80% of their wage. We get them for the rest of the season. Then at the end of the season, we can then go, right, who's available for free? Who's available in our budget and stuff like that? Dan, what are you saying?
Personally, I think if Ollie Palmer's at our club at the end of the season, we stay up. Because I have I don't know why, and I've got no evidence of it, but I think there'll be a period of time where Presley will go into the team. Palmer I think he's going to want to move, or he's going to want to play and get stuck in. And I feel that there'll be an opportunity. Whether the last 10 games, Palmer will come in and smash it up to shreds. Just one more thing on this.
Yeah, go on.
Who is going to buy Palmer on this form, though? Like, I don't know about you, Jay, but it's been horrible watching him. Like, the last 5 games, been too deep. He gets bullied off the ball. Who is going to buy this guy at the moment?
Well, Wrexham, apparently.
I like him. Well, maybe, but I don't see why you'd spend the amount of money, because they were linking him. Palmer or Verdane Oliver, who was obviously at Gillingham. I'll take Oliver every day of the week.
But are we asking the wrong question here? Well, is it up to us if Palmer stays or goes? Does Palmer decide if he's going or not? Because, not being rude, if I was Ollie Palmer and I've only got 8 months left on my contract, he's 29, as I said, he's been injury prone. I'd be looking and think about it as your job and stuff like that, not from a football fan point of view, a Wimbledon fan.
Yeah.
You're getting offered to double, triple your wages to go to Wrexham for 2 years.
Yeah, but have you been to Wrexham?
It doesn't, Dan. You go out there for 2 years. I know it's grim, but you go out there for a couple of years, and he's on say 5 grand a week for 2 years. He rents out his house in Banstead, so he hasn't got to give that up. He then that pays for a house in Wrexham. Well, probably pays for about 100 houses in Wrexham. You know what I mean? He'll own the valleys if with his house in Banstead. Do you know what I mean? And then he's earning 5 grand a week. I don't blame him if he wants to leave. And maybe is that why his form's so bad that he wants out.
Well, at the end of the day, you see footballers that are on 50 grand a week move to go on 80 grand a week, you know, and you think, well, they're already on 50 grand a week. I think it's a bit different when you're in the lower leagues of football, where that extra couple of grand a week, that will make a hell of a difference, you know, that then sets them up a lot more comfortably in the future. Would he want to move to Wales? Probably not. But if, like you say, they're doubling and tripling his wages, you know, it's
you can't
a
no that, really. Trainer.
Also, he'll probably tear it up in the conference. He'll score goals for fun down there, especially in fairly good Wrexham side.
Well, he didn't do well against Bournemouth, but 2 years, 2 years in Wales. As I said, he keeps his ass in Banstead, so he don't have to do that. You know, his family probably stay there. He goes up there for 2 years. He earns good money. The other thing you've got to think about is if he gets a signing on fee, they could be huge nowadays. He could get 50 grand just to sign on for Wrexham.
Signing on fee, promotion fee, goal fee.
He's going to be earning good money if he does go. So I don't blame him if he wants to go. I just want to see him give the 100% that we know he can do. And I don't know is he injured? Is he not fit? We're just not getting the Ollie Palmer that we know we can get. And it's really disappointing.
And I think this is the real conundrum, is that I don't necessarily know whether or not Ollie Palmer's even to blame. I mean, not being funny, we've got a 6 foot plus striker who I don't think he scored more than one headed goal from a cross. I mean, come on. Like, he probably made his career on being a goal scorer who scores headers, and the crossing's been crap. Like, I'm not being funny. It's like, it's, playing the ball to feet to Jamie Vardy, well, you know he wants to run in behind you, and you've got to play a through ball for him to chase onto. And if we're not playing to the way that he wants to play, then, I mean, maybe we're just expecting too much. I mean, the crossing's been that poor, and maybe he's having to, maybe, and again, he might be playing the way that he's being told that he is playing. We need you to drop deep to do the X, Y, and Z. He may not want to do that. So it's kind of that classic case of, well, you only know what you see. I still think there'll be a goal and he'll go on a little run, or Presley will come in and it will throw him up a bit. And I would definitely let him decide what he wants to do in the summer, no problem. But it'll just be, I personally, unless it's 300k and we're going to get someone half decent in to replace him, I can't see him going.
I mean, you speak about him only scoring ahead of goal. I remember when we signed him and our first sort of, they were like 6'5", you know, monster. We finally got the big lump up front. You know, he's going to knock defenders about. You know, we haven't really had one since Akinfenwa. I know he's a bit of a anomaly. Yeah. But then I looked at his stats and he hadn't scored. I think he scored 20 goals for Crawley, of which 18 were with his feet and 2 with his head. That's not his game. He's not very good in the air. For someone that big, he's not very good in the air. Piggott was quite tall, not good in the air. Lyle Taylor was tall, awful in the air, jumped too early. You know, he's actually not bad. He's actually not bad with all his feet, Palmer. I think he actually prides himself on the fact that he's good with his feet for a big man. But, you know, we launch, I don't know, 20 balls up to him. We'll be lucky if he wins 2.
No, I agree.
I think you say about if we keep him, he gets 5 good games. Would you say he's had 5 good games already this season in the league?
I think he's had 5 games where he's made an impact enough to impact the game enough. Like Cambridge away, he only played 10 minutes, but the moment he came in, the whole game changed. He got the goals in the FA Cup. He got the equaliser with Gillingham. I know I'm basically picking highlighted games, but. I just think in him, on when he wants it, I think he's fantastic in terms of proper swashbuckly barging people about. But I haven't seen that in the last since the Cheltenham game. I've not seen it. Whether that's our lot with Ollie Palmer, and when we signed him, I was a bit annoyed because I thought, right, this is not as you said. Since we've been in the Football League, we have had some excellent forwards. We have kind of stayed up on the quality of our centre forwards literally since we've come in the Football League. Jack Midson, decent forward for us. Taylor, Elliot, Akinfenwa, we've had Piggott. And this is the first year when I felt like, Christ, we haven't got that goal. And also the regularity of play. Like you said, Piggott, don't miss games.
This is Ollie Palmer's first season in League One. Well, not first season, but obviously he's been with us 2 seasons now. But yeah, it's his first time playing League One football. But just before we wrap up, boys, I think your point is, are we helping Ollie Palmer, or are we like disadvantaging him? Because the way we play at the moment, we've like been no one next to him. If we had a 2 up front, as I said, if we had gone against Morecambe, put Terry next to him, if he's winning stuff, you've got a guy of absolute pace to burn getting in behind. So if he does win a header, Terry's going to put him under pressure and then Ollie gets in behind. But yeah, we'll wrap it up there, boys. Sorry, Jay, one last point and then we'll
go. I was just going to say, I think now we've got that option with Terry. And Cosgrave as well, where we now have an option where Robbo might think, I can actually play 2 up front now. And I would be surprised if he doesn't. How long that takes, who knows?
I think I need to change it up a little bit. But anyway, we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll discuss goals, the best goals we've ever scored and the best goals conceded.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Goals, goals, goals. So as we're not scoring any at the moment, we thought we decided to talk about some of the best goals we've seen. Hopefully the players might hear this and it might give them a little bit of a G up. Also, some of the best goals that we've seen against us. So if I start us off, boys, with one of the best goals I've seen us score, and what it meant at the time was Michael Hughes away to Birmingham.
Yeah.
Just when we were protesting at the time, we all steamed down the front. Michael Hughes picks up the ball, takes a couple of touches, and then just bangs it in.
2-0, that, wasn't it? 2-0.
And everyone just got absolute ballistic. People on the pitch, the Zulu army were going mental. They were trying to get to us as well. Stewards were punching anyone in their sight. It was, and what a goal it was as well. And one of the best goals I've ever seen scored against us, Tony Yeboah.
Yeah.
And that one where he scores, what, 3 absolute weldies in about a week, didn't he? One at Liverpool.
Scored 2 against us.
The one against us where he goes knee, touch, volley. And it just, they don't score goals like that anymore, players.
I would say that's the second best goal scored against us.
Go on in, Jay. Go on.
There's a clear winner.
It's either got to be Beckham halfway line or Decanio.
It's not Beckham halfway line. That's the third best one, I'd say. Decanio. Yeah, this is a volley. Oh,
you know, in this football nowadays, it'd have been disallowed. VAR would have disallowed it for offside.
Well, it was a good job it was in the 90s then, mate, wasn't it? Because we'd have been robbed of one of the greatest goals, Premier League goals ever. I know it was against us, but I could watch that goal all day. Just the way it comes down on his foot. And just,
we've always conceded pretty awesome goals, Wimbledon, though. Like, I remember Shearer having an absolute pile driver of a free kick against us. We just always had, obviously, the Beckham goal. For me, the favourite goals I had, Jason Yule's first, home against Southampton, like a little volley around the corner. That was a great goal. Really loved the Midson diving header at MK.
Yep.
It wasn't necessarily like how quality a goal was, but just the way he scored was great. Jake Reeves volley,
Jake Reeves volley.
Really, really like just a proper quality header. I think my all-time favourite goal. So long time ago, Fashanu against Palace. He does like a lob, like, and it's properly good because you know Fash the Bash, he's like bosh. He does like a cheeky little turn, just dinks it over. I think it's Nigel Martin. And it goes right in. And I remember being there on the terraces with my dad. Like, it was just quality. But I think that one, I guess from a Wimbledon point of view, the Marcus Gayle header against Man United.
Marcus Gayle header against Man United.
This ball comes across, heading it and losing 10 seconds of just the absolute mentalness, going to school the next day, wearing full Wimbledon gear, got on detention for it, couldn't care less. That was just like, I just love that moment. And I had it this year with Rodoni against Oxford, that like the second before you score, just when you know it's going to go in. And that cross came in and I was looking at Schmeichel and I sort of grabbed my dad's arm and you see Gayle go right back and bash straight in. That second just before it goes in is just sensational.
As we're talking about headed goals, can I say 2 of the most important and goals that we've ever scored, and they're brilliant headers, was John Main. Hampton and Richmond. When 2 of their players are absolutely wiped out, we put a ball in the box, we have to score, and John Main don't score headers that often, and he bangs one of them with his head.
The other one must have been Danny Baker for the fans team against Motherwell, wasn't it? In the quarterfinal of the fans trophy at Collierswood, probably. 1-1-0.
Akinfenwa.
Every round, not going to go on about it.
Akinfenwa. If you were there, you were there. Right, I'm cutting that out. Akinfenwa, away to Accrington in the semi-final when we had to get back into the game. And we just put the ball up and he just smashes it in and everyone goes absolutely ballistic.
He really just ate that bloke for breakfast, didn't he? But didn't know what hit him. I think he landed on his head.
It's like a bulldozer, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, one of the goals that we conceded, which even now, it completely devastated me, was, and it's a bit of a weird one. Do you remember when we played Fleetwood and it was so wet at King's Meadow?
Yeah.
And it was soaking and it was...
When they got the rollers out.
And they got the rollers out. The game's been called off and they scored this rubbish goal. We lost 1-0.
Yeah.
And there's only been twice, even when we lost to Southampton, it was that game and Gerald Seaborn, when we were in the Premier League, we played Sheffield Wednesday at home. He scored and I was like, Sheffield Wednesday are rubbish. And we conceded and I was like, oh, we could actually go down here. Those were the two goals where I was like, oh, I don't think I've... I'm normally pretty good. I can kind of get over a game relatively quickly. By the time I've gone home, I've kind of moved on a bit. But those two games, I was properly crestfallen. Particularly the game with Fleetwood, when I was like, "Oh my god!" I genuinely thought we were done. We were totally done that year.
You know, goals I used to love as well. Combine County's days, Kevin Cooper used to always take free kicks, and he'd always plant it under the wall every game. Like, did they not know what was going to happen? They always jump, and then he'd just put it under the wall, bang, straight into the corner.
I don't think they were scouting us back then, mate, to be fair.
No, but every week we would score a goal from a free kick. Kevin Cooper under the wall, straight in the corner. Thank you very much.
Well, that's when Mikey T kept on playing Hawaii 5-0 like every other week. Yeah, we'd go 5-0 up. One more I wanted to add was Staines Town playoff final when we went 1-0 down. Lewis Cumbers equalised and then we got a free kick. And I remember going mental because Mark De Bolla was standing over it. I was like, what on earth is he doing taking this free kick? And then he plants it in the postage stamp.
He came back off loan, didn't he, just to play in that game
for
set piece specialists. It's like the geezer that plays at Southampton there. Do you know what I mean? We had one in our locker and he came back on loan. Yeah, but no, you know what I mean?
You don't see him in the same place, do you? Never see him together.
But do you know, in that game you're talking about, one of my favourite ever Wimbledon players, Nick McDonald, come on and changed the game for us that day. He was our Ollie Palmer back
then. Lee, can you stop going on about Nick McDonald? He sounds like a bloke from Corrie. Just let it go.
Mate, he smashed their keeper. Cumbers scores and then De Bolla puts it in.
So who's going to score our next goal? Who's going to do it? Who's going to make it happen?
Nightingale. Corner.
McCormick. Free kick, but yeah.
Oliver Palmer.
He'll what for Wrexham?
He'll score four. And then he'll go to Wrexham for $2 million. And we'll be like, thank you. Good night.
We've scored some unbelievable goals though for our years, haven't we? Like, brilliant goals. We've had, as we said earlier, striker-wise, we've had some, like, even from the CCL days, Joe Shearing coming and playing for us. Matt Everard scoring 30 goals as a centre-back. Do you know what I mean? Lyle Taylor.
Kevin Cooper, Richard Butler, John Main, Danny
Lyle
Kedlock.
Taylor was...
He's been very, very blessed. You know, Midson. We've always had like a guy who was like a talismanic guy. The interesting thing was obviously Robbo's, you know, he's not daft. He's like, we need to share the goals out more. And he was right because we're not going to replace the Pigot. But it's interesting. I haven't done my stats in terms of where we're at goals scored compared to last year. I don't know. But we miss what I would call a genuine goal threat.
But Lyle Taylor was rotting in Scunthorpe's reserves when we plucked him out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? He came to us and we just made him into a brilliant striker.
I think that's credit to Neil Ardley there. I think his man management of Lyle Taylor really brought out the best in him.
But we've not spoke about two important goals again.
I've probably got them on my list. Lyle Taylor final. And Danny Kebbell's penalty.
Danny Kebbell's penalty. Yeah. I remember just even back
greatest moment
in,
of my life, that.
And I just started crying. That's it. We've done it. We're in league football.
Do you want to just take
him
in it?
I was very hungover. I'd just flown in from Magaluf, mate. I went on a one-night stag do to Magaluf. I was meant to be on a stag do.
You bring this up every time.
You're like Uncle Albert during the war. Go on.
I was on the stag do 3 nights in Magaluf.
Where did you go?
Magaluf. Oh, mate,
where did
what
you
place.
Fly into?
Mate, I was...
Who was there?
I used to run Magaluf back in them days, mate.
Mate,
I used to run it.
It's like a new novel, Lee Finch in Magaluf.
Oh, mate, you could write a book about my exploits in Magaluf, mate.
Yeah, I've got to read a book to the little one in a minute. She'll love that.
Hey, and I flew to Manchester, got a cab straight to the ground.
Flew to Manchester. Dorothy, you're listening.
My yellow and blue scarf on, and someone said, why are you wearing a scarf? It's 30 degrees, mate. I was like, I can't watch Wimbles.
It's because for the Wimbles, then we're going to Etihad, Wimbledon.
Yeah. One of the worst journeys back I've ever had. Luton wanted to kick the shit out of us. That weren't fun. But anyway, anyone wants to hear about Magaluf, just give me a text or something.
Yeah, Gavin and Stacey when Matt Lucas,
yeah.
You're talking about when they hire one of them like dwarfs and stuff like that, and then you could hire Lee Finch to come on your
side. I know what you want. One word, booze.
Well, there is other stuff out in Magaluf you could have. Okay. I used to get it by the droves, mate. Anyway.
Other holiday destinations are available.
Talk about goals.
Lee is available for children's parties, though, if you want them.
It was always back of the net for me in Magaluf, mate.
Oh, God.
There's probably little finches
you
do
a lot of fishing,
around,
did you?
Run around Spain now. Anyway, we've gone right off subject now. Any more goals that we want to talk about?
There's one about
Magaluf. What's the culture like? What's the local cuisine all right?
It's English fry ups and roast, mate.
Yeah, I bet there's an Irish pub somewhere, isn't there?
There's a few Irish pubs. There's one pub.
O'Malley's or something, is there? Karaoke?
Only Fools and Horses pub. And all they do is play Only Fools and Horses. You get to read the Sun. You place a few bets on the horses and you eat English food. It's It's like madness. I don't get it.
I see why you've gone now.
Like, I only went on stag do.
You're just going to Sutton or Cheam or Wimbledon and you fly all the way out there to have a cooked breakfast.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? There's only stag do. I love it. I love the English.
If they had a pie mash, we'd never see you again.
Oh, mate, I'd have been living out there now. That's the way that ain't a bad business idea, actually. Pie mash in Magaluf. See you later, Mia. I'm out to Magaluf. See you later. You could keep the free kids. I'm off to Magaluf to sell pie mash.
Have you been to like a Wimbledon game on tour? Like, have you been abroad to watch Wimbledon?
Yeah, I went to Frankfurt.
You went to Frankfurt. Was it good?
Mate, we should have a podcast just for that trip. It was unbelievable. Okay, seriously, anyone who went,
I won't be here. You can there's get,
a,
do it.
I've got to tell
it.
A story.
Yeah, all on, and I'm not. I won't be here. I'll just listen to it.
I've got to tell one of the story about one of the pisser lads.
As long as it's not Magaluf again, Lee.
No, we're in Frankfurt. We're in Frankfurt in an Irish bar, and one of the pisser lads is in there. And it's like next day morning. Like, we've gone off subject, but it's a brilliant story. So I say to him, he goes, oh, yeah, I meant to be. It was him and his son were coming out because his son had just done his GCSEs. And he said, look, do well in your GCSEs. I'll take you to Frankfurt on tour of Wimbledon. He said, all right, brilliant. So they get to the airport, goes to the check-in gate. Passport for him's good. His son's has run out. So he goes, no problem, son. Don't worry. I'll just give your mum a bill. So he rings his mum and then he goes, all right, dad, what's going on? He goes, your mum's going to be here in about an hour to pick you up. I'm getting the plane to Frankfurt. He went to Frankfurt and his son had to go home. He said he was in the doghouse. He was in the doghouse with his missus.
Talking of goals, that's an own goal, isn't it?
Yeah, but he was on a flight while his son was still waiting at the airport for his mum to come pick him up. Brilliant. But Frankfurt, anyone who went to Frankfurt, oh my God, what a trip. If we can do it again, if we can get rid of this COVID business, get on a tour.
I just saw the clip of Wimbledon playing Real Madrid. Last night, I was sitting at R4, like half asleep with Bubby, and I just was scrolling through, and someone's put the video of when we went to Madrid.
Billy Jones is just kicking people.
And it was like, we played at the Bernabeu, and I think he lost like 3-2 or something ridiculous. Yeah. And I was like, that must have been, like, imagine it now.
Can you imagine
if going to Carlos and that?
Can you imagine if that Wimbledon team, when we won the FA Cup, got into Europe?
Oh, God.
Was
that because of Heisen?
Yeah, and we were playing like the Milans and stuff like that. They wouldn't have known what hit them back in them days.
Oh, mate, we'd have lost to Ferencváros or someone ridiculous. No. We'd have got an amazing, like, draw, and we would have lost to, like...
I've been there.
Abate Borisov, and we'd be like, oh, God's sake.
I've been there, Ferencváros.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
I took the missus on Mother's Day, and I took her for a stadium tour around Ferencváros in Hungary. She loved it. Budapest. Anyway... Any more? Because we've gone right off subject here, boy.
It's your fault. You're talking about
any more goals?
I'll jump in. I'll be the voice of reason. There's two goals that stick in my memory that weren't like important games, or it wasn't the. One of them was the Jake Reeves one against York.
Yeah.
Just beautiful strike, and there was another one. Do you remember Jamie Taylor?
Yeah.
Yes.
He bent one in from about 30 yards with the outside of his foot, and I don't know if it was just the fact that I was right behind it. And I saw it go. It started off at about the corner flag and just he hit it with the outside of his foot and it curled all the way. I can't remember who it was against and it landed right in the stanchion.
Last question, boys. Is it anything better than a last minute winner?
No. Yeah. I mean, in football terms.
I'd rather have a last minute winner than have sex with the most beautiful girl in the world.
Yeah, that's where me and you might. That's where me and you might disagree.
Mate, last minute winners.
That wedding is looking decidedly done, I think.
The last minute winner in a really important game.
Like, oh, you didn't say that. You didn't say that.
You know what I mean, though, Jay. You know you're sitting like Atkinson Stanley or something where we need a last minute winner to get through. And I'll take that over anything.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling than just hugging a stranger and kissing their head or something when we've just scored a goal out of nothing. Like, I remember one of the goals I talk about now when we went to West Brom and we had, I think it was
Neil Shipperley, last minute, wasn't it?
Off his bum, but we had someone sent off. Connolly was sent off in like the
A player sent off and Shipperley scored literally. It was all West Brom and we nicked it right at the end.
Literally 80 minutes of just them, literally.
Constantly.
We last minute, we just booted it upfield and then someone crossed it. It hit Neil Shipperley on the arse, went in. Everyone just went ballistic. I think I nearly died that day. I fell about that 10 stairs, mate. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
We might die on Saturday if we score a bloody heart attack.
Mate, Burton's a good away day. Great kebab shop in Burton. They do it in naan bread. Oh, unbelievable stuff.
Of all the goals we've spoken about, if you had to pick one,
Kedball, what would it be?
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Edwards penalty for you, Finchie. I think I'd agree with that.
What, as in terms of a Wimbledon goal?
Just, yeah, Wimbledon goal. Any Wimbledon goal you had to choose.
Wimbledon and AFC.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus Gale, definitely.
Kidwell, definitely.
It was just that, I think I was 15 or 16, and I was like one of the few Wimbledon fans, a couple of us, who would go to games, and the Man United, that sort of everyone supporting Man United, and the like the ag, and then going to school with like knowing that you've won, knackered because it was just bonkers, and walking into school with Wimbledon gear. No, never going to forget that.
It wasn't 30 years ago, was it?
What?
Well, you said when you were 15, 16.
Here he goes. Is the Royal Variety has started, is it?
Right, then. We'll move on, boys. And when we come back, we'll preview Burton and Ipswich Town.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back, and we're going to preview the weekend's game against Burton and Tuesday night's game at home to Ipswich. So, boys, Burton, they've signed a few, I think about three players. Don't know their form or anything like that. Don't really look into away teams. That I can't be bothered. But I think we need to change it a little bit. I think we need to change and go two up front, at least two up front. But I've been saying that for weeks, so we'll go one up front and we'll not score again. Go on, Jim.
Funny you should mention the form, mate. They're unbeaten in 2022. They've won their last three. They smashed someone 4-0 and 3-1. So they've scored 8 goals in 3 games. So I'd take a point. You know, they're a decent side under Hasselbank since he took over again.
How many points is enough, Jay, in the two games? Ipswich home.
Portsmouth and Ipswich.
Away,
I'd take 2 points.
What, from Burton and Ipswich?
I would take 2 points. I wouldn't say it'd be ideal, but I think I'd prefer to take something from Ipswich because that's one of our games in hand. Okay. I mean, Burton are 12th, Ipswich are 11th. They're both, like, Burton are in good form. Ipswich, it depends which Ipswich turn up, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because they've blown teams away and then they lost 2-0 to Bolton at the weekend. So, you know, they seem to lose the easier games, and then, you know, they beat Wickham, top of the table Wickham. So, I don't know. Like I said, it depends which Ipswich turn up.
Who's their manager now? It's not Paul Cook. Who is it?
They got from Manchester United.
Man United, the Northern Irish fella.
The first time coach ever. From Man U. I don't know. They brought him in. He's brought Norwood back into the frame with Bonnie. They're trying to get Bonnie on a perm.
He's staying there all year. He's assigned to stay on loan for the end of the year.
Yeah, I worry
about
Luco
as well, no? Sonny Luco, Connor Chaplin, Joe Piggott, not playing any game. I mean, that's
Selena.
Scott Fraser. Yeah, I
worry about the next two games quite, because as you said, Jay, Burton on a bit of form. They're scoring goals for fun. I know we're keeping clean sheets, which is good, but we do look like we have got a mistake in us. Zanev looks like he could concede a goal at any time, even though he does make some outrageous saves as well. I don't know where the goals are coming from. I really can't see
I think that's unfair on Nick Zanev, actually. I think he's probably been one of our best players this season. He always looks like he's got a mistake in him.
He has got a mistake in him. Tell me he hasn't.
How many has he done this season? One?
His kicking's not great at the moment. He's kicking against both.
Yeah, but neither was Neil Sullivan's, mate. It doesn't make him a bad goalkeeper.
Neil Sullivan's a different level to Nick Zanev. Don't even put him in the same bracket, mate.
I agree with you with his feet. I don't agree with you that there's a mistake in him. I think I'm not completely confident all the time with his kicking, but I think he's been a very, very good goalkeeper with us with his hands. I've not seen him make a huge amount of away, maybe, but
I backed him to the hilt on this podcast. I love him to bits. I think if we lost him, we'd be absolutely screwed. But then that's because we'd have to put the little goalkeeper in. And I'd be struggling.
He hasn't got a name.
My worry is coming up is Nick Zanev will be going to play for New Zealand and we miss him for like 3 games.
If we haven't got any other internationals going.
Could we get an emergency loan in that situation?
New Zealand are playing a totally different. They're playing a totally different time to what the internationals are.
Oh, really?
So he'd be going off on it like when we haven't got any other international, he'd be only international.
Could we get an emergency loan?
Why would we? We've got the little.
No, I think you can. I think
then we'd only have one goalkeeper. And
I think you can because I don't think Zaki, he's not had enough. I think we must. I mean, crikey, if we haven't, Jesus.
But anyway, coming back to the games, Dan, what's your feelings? Well, how many points?
I think the Ipswich game is more important than Burton. On the fact that I think the home game is got more on it, and I think our home form has not been particularly brilliant. To be honest with you, we've probably had a lot of our better games have been away.
We've
from
won
home.
Two games all season, I think.
What, at home? Yeah, since we've been back at Plough Lane, really, we've not been overly brilliant. So I think that's going to be a bigger one than the Burton game. The only thing with Burton is, again, for both teams, I don't think there's a huge amount to play on, but I guess we're still in January. They might want to have a little punt and have a go. They've got the young lad up front, Jebison, isn't it, from Burton, who's the really young kid. I mean, is he Sheffield United?
They've got Kane Hemmings as well, as decent.
Kane Hemmings. I mean, I can see us getting points at both, but like you said, it's that point now where, to be honest, like I think we spoke earlier, we've apparently dominated more, can play well at Pompey, but God, we just got to get some points. And to be honest, we need to score some goals and quick.
Anyone going up there?
No, not going to Burton. Going to Ipswich, not going to Burton.
I love Burton. It's a great
one. Burton's right. Yeah, the Pirelli's quite good. I quite like them as a club, actually. I think
it's a good little way in, to be fair. Nice little terrace. And they've got a great kebab shop, really. But I was going to say...
So I'm taking 2 points. I'm taking two. But three would be fantastic. I'll be over the moon with that.
I think I agree with both what you said. I think two we have to get. I think anything less than that would be disappointing. But yeah, I'd like to see us get three from the two games. Boys, one thing we forgot to talk about earlier with regards to the Portsmouth game was this thing about regarding it not being on iFollow. I totally forgot. So I thought we'd quickly mention it now because we're not going to Burton. So we might be able to dodgy stream it. But our game against Portsmouth on Tuesday was not on iFollow, and it was a decision the club made because they wanted to sell more tickets to the Portsmouth game and they thought people would just turn up on the day and go. I just think it's mad that we didn't have it on iFollow for the fans who live... Because Tuesday night games, you can pay £10 to watch it. And people...
The reason why it was an option is because it was a rearranged Saturday game, is that correct?
Yeah, but we had the option to say yes. Don's Trust put a statement out today saying that they declined it because they thought they would get more people. We don't make any money from the away fans watching it on iFollow.
No, we do. That's incorrect.
But Don's Trust have come out and said we don't. We don't make any money.
You get money for the first 5,000 people that buy it.
What, away fans?
Obviously not the people that are at the game because
they're not buying it
on iFollow. But the away team don't get money for the first 500 or 5,000.
I think it's 500, but the Don's Trust have said that we don't get any money for away fans purchasing the iFollow.
Yeah, well, that is incorrect.
That's what I thought. But I just found it mad that we didn't have it on iFollow on Tuesday and get people to pay £10 because most people would. And to be fair, the East Stand was empty anyway. So, do you know what I mean? Just put it on iFollow for the people that can't go to games, like myself at the moment. I can't get to games. Love to, but I can't. I'd love to watch it on TV and I'd pay
£10. You might not want to say, did you watch the game on Tuesday? Just kind of like blink if you did. Right. We'll never know. I don't think it's a massive deal, mate, to be honest with you. I think it's... Like, does it really matter?
Yeah, because people want to watch the game,
in terms of having the game on iFollow or not?
Yeah.
Well, which one? Which one?
Like, does it matter that it wasn't on iFollow?
It wasn't on iFollow. I mean, I just feel like, you know, like my brother's in Australia, he'd love to watch a game.
Will he be able to watch it?
Yeah, but he can watch it anyway.
Oh, of course.
Because he's not in the UK.
It's only for people in the UK.
I don't know. I mean, I think the whole iFollow thing, I mean, you pay a tenner. I think they should put it on. I don't see why there isn't more. I know that the TV rights and that sort of stuff, but personally speaking, if there's a game on a Tuesday night, we as a club, if we can put it on iFollow, we would do it. I don't know the money logistics of it, but I can't imagine a huge amount of people go, right, I've got a ticket for this game, now I'm going to watch it on iFollow. Or those people go, do you know what, shall I go, shall I not? I'll watch it on iFollow. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it probably should have been on iFollow. Yeah, it should have been on iFollow. I think we would all agree it should have been on iFollow.
We've got to remember that not all our fans live in the SW19 postcode.
Yeah, but that's the reason why I think it should be on. And I think moving forward with all this COVID stuff, the one thing that you've seen is for people who are particularly ostracised or a bit older or aren't able to do it, being part of something on the community and you're a Wimbledon fan, you know, like when my old man wasn't well, and we had a lockdown, the fact that he could come and watch the game and it was on a, we could pay for it on iFollow was very, very important to him and to me. And I think that there's a community of people who are with mental health and stuff. I think there's an obligation for people to kind of be more reachable, should we say.
To be fair, I loved it during lockdown because I had a lot of work events. So I had like 100 people around watching the games.
Well,
do you know what I mean? A few beers. Well, do you know what I mean? They were work events.
What's the party though, yeah?
No, it was a work event. I had a massive screen, do you know what I mean? Because we were talking figures and stuff. Yeah, it was good, but...
Cheese and wine, Lee?
Yeah, I'm a big cheese man, actually.
I can see that.
Bit of cheddar for me.
Well, yeah, go exotic. Go mental.
Or bit of dairy. Bit of dairy.
You bring that home from Magaluf, did you?
Bit of dairy. Anyway, boys, right, before we go, let's have some predictions. Burton first.
We will score. And it will be 1-1.
Cool.
Nil nil.
2-0 Burton. Ipswich.
You can go first, Lee.
Desmond.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
2-2. I'm gonna go Ipswich. If we get a decent result at Burton, I think we'll get another one at Ipswich. So I'm gonna go for, yeah, let's go for it. 2-1 to Wimbledon.
That's, I love your optimism. I love your optimism.
Ollie Palmer's going to come on a charge, I'm telling you.
Desmond as well, to be fair. It will be the same as the reverse fixture.
Brilliant stuff, boys. Brilliant stuff. Danny, as usual, thanks very much for joining us. And Jay, welcome back.
Cheers, mate. It's great to be back, actually. I really enjoyed talking to Danny.
Good bands. Right. See you later, boys. Up the warm-up.
Next week's from Magaluf, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.